Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, and this is David Smith.
Yeah, hello.
The Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. We are joined by a gentleman, I guess we can say that.
Yes, sir.
who is making a positive difference in
Indiana. The Hoosier State.
And who undoubtedly is disliked by the Hoosier left. Mm-hmm. Let's welcome Micah Clark with the American Family Association of Indiana, kind of the IFI of Indiana.
Great to be here. It was a great trip up here and had a great morning with you guys, and love learning about the great ministry that she's doing.
Absolutely. And yeah. Learning a lot from each other.
Yes.
And how we can employ some best practices.
Yeah.
Let's get right to this.
Yep.
President Trump. Choice for the Supreme Court is D.C. Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Will he be a good fit for the nation, for Illinois, and Indiana? Who wants to go first?
Well, I think he was one of the final four choices of Donald Trump, and I think that some folks had him at the bottom of that list. Mm-hmm. However, what I'm hearing about his strict constructionist views of the Constitution hearten me, make me feel good. And I'm hoping over the next several days, weeks, months, till the actual vote, we learn more about his 300-plus decisions, you know, court rulings, and learn more about where he stands on the issues. We do know he's a pro-life Catholic, and so that's important as we go into maybe a season where some of these pro-life restrictions are challenged in the court, and maybe even Roe v. Wade, maybe Doe versus Bolton, who knows in the future. But stay tuned, is what I say.
Michael? You know, I think one of the things that Donald Trump has done well with this choice that past Republican presidents may have missed taking a misstep on is past Republicans looking at a closely divided Senate like we are today, or a Democrat-controlled Senate, looked more at the resume of a candidate. In this case, I think they looked at more of the record, and we've got somebody who has a long history on the bench. That can't be distorted. It is what it is. And maybe they just thought this was a safer pick, one that is not an unknown. You know, Souter was an unknown, Kennedy was an unknown, and they all moved left.
I think
he went with a safe pick. My choice was Amy Barrett.
That's mine too. Exactly.
I just thought that was a great choice. Someone who's not in the Ivy League, someone who has a consistent social conservative record.
Someone whose dogma lives loudly within her.
Yes. But I think everybody on the list of 25 that he's come up with would be someone we could find acceptable within the Federalist Society guidelines and others. And one thing that Donald Trump has done very, very well as president is he's done very, very well in the judicial side on picking candidates and judges. And actually, it's something Mitch McConnell's done well at, too. And I'm not a big Mitch McConnell fan.
No, neither am I.
But the Senate has done a pretty good job of getting judicial appointments. It's almost as if while Donald Trump is out here twittering and making people mad, and he's got the bright, shiny object with something he says.
Behind and the media hyperventilating.
Yes, and the media's following that dog, and then they're stacking the courts, which is the hard work that they ought to be doing. The question I have is, can we get 51 votes?
Well, you come from Indiana, mm-hmm. and we have a very conservative state who went, do you remember the—
It was 19 points for
19
Trump.
19 points mm-hmm. for wow. Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You have a Democrat U.S. Senator by the name of Joe Donnelly, mm-hmm. and he's up for re-election in November.
Right. And this is a guy who is a Democrat and voted for legislation that would have banned abortions 20 weeks after pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make it out of
the
U.S.
So is he a blue dog Democrat?
Well, he's an Indiana Democrat. Okay. It's not quite the same as a Southern Democrat in the sense that no raving liberal has become Indiana senator as a Democrat. Evan Bayh was a centrist, or at least he presented himself that way, the campaign that way. Joe Donnelly is kind of the same way. Now, how he is in Washington, the thing that caught Evan Bayh, our former Democrat senator, was you had the mantra stuck of D.C. Evan and Indiana Evan. Well, Indiana Evan was conservative. D.C. Evan was more like Kennedy's. And so, but Donnelly was smart enough to know, I have to run center. And he's going to have to do this. So he's in a bit of a box because If he votes for Donnelly, he's more like, or votes for Kavanaugh, he's more likely to get reelected.
Sure.
If he, but he's more likely to lose support from Democrats, right, or the, right, or the Washington Beltway.
Yeah, the Bernie Sanders.
Yeah,
wing
the people who are funding him, the far left. So
but
he's
his top
priority
is to get reelected, though.
It is. It is.
So, first question: will he vote for Kavanaugh? If you had to, you know, if nothing terrible comes out about the man's personal life, right?
I think that he will, although the radical left is getting more and more loud, and more and more he has that pushing against him that maybe he didn't have when Gorsuch was up, because they're just losing their mind right now. They think it's the end of Roe versus Wade. I'm not so sure. We can talk about that later.
Sure.
But I think he's got that to deal with. But at the end of the day, I think he will vote that way, but there's no guarantee. And certainly the people listening to this podcast from Indiana need to contact Joe Donnelly,
yes,
as well as Senator Todd Young. Let them know their opinion on where they stand on this, because this was the number one reason why people voted for Donald Trump, one of the top two or three
absolutely
reasons.
Absolutely. No, and so that brings me to another question, actually. How important is it to send Republican conservatives to the U.S. Senate in November to help reinforce what Donald Trump is trying to do in the federal judiciary, as well as, you know, Supreme Court? We've got Ginsburg, who's 85 years old, and I don't want to be mean, but that vacancy may be on the horizon, too, in the near future.
So. It's vitally important, and we are in basically a 50-50 Senate, with McCain being ill.
Right.
Even if we have him, you've got two or three, Susan Collins,
right,
Lisa Murkowski, McCain,
right,
Jeff Flake. They're all lost causes in some ways.
Rhinos.
As conservative rhinos.
Olympia Snow.
Olympia Snow is another.
Yeah. Yep.
So they need four or five crossovers to get this through, as I see it. And so you've got toss-up states of Missouri,
right,
Indiana, Montana, and Florida. And those are the four Democrats.
North Dakota, maybe?
Yeah, it could be that, too.
Yep.
So they're going to need to hold the base of the Senate, the Republicans, and get four or five Democrats,
so
maybe.
So we're a few months out before the general election in November. But if you had to guess now, and I know this is anything can happen between now and then, but do you think Donnelly retains his seat or is defeated for the U.S. Senate?
If he votes, in my opinion, if he votes against Kavanaugh, and especially if Kavanaugh doesn't make it, he's toast.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Wow. Interesting.
Because you're talking about a state where Donald Trump has already come into campaign for the Republican candidate, Mike Braun.
Yep.
Mike Pence's home state, who's very popular as well.
Yep.
Vice President Pence. I'm sorry. I've known him for 20 years, and so I've known him as congressman. I've known him as a radio host. I've known him as a friend. It's hard for me not to call him Mike. Vice President Pence will be in if he needs to. And Donnelly has to know that. His public poll numbers show him down by 1 point the last time I saw.
Okay.
So, but
that's
very
within the margin of error.
It's within the margin of error. Yeah. He's very gifted. He's very skillful. He has a lot of money, but he's neck and neck right now.
Well,
on the guy who has two years in the legislature and very little experience politically otherwise, and he's tied with him.
Are you concerned of a blue wave in Indiana?
No.
Okay. That's good to hear.
Well,
we're so close, but we're so far away over here.
I hate to say that in Indiana, because you don't ever want to tell people not to be involved, because
it's
right, all about intensity, and certainly as Christians and conservatives, we always have to vote. We always have to be involved.
That's right.
But I think given the economy, given the success of the Republicans in Indiana on a lot of issues, I don't see a blue wave. In Indiana, historically, for a blue wave to happen, the Democrats have to run like Republicans. And the problem I have is a lot of Republicans act like Democrats. But
that's right.
So
that's exactly right.
What's happened with redistricting over the years is that most Democrats in Indiana in the legislature are from metropolitan areas, cities.
Right.
And it used to be southern Indiana was full of Democrats. During Clinton and Obama, those mostly went Republican. People have kind of switched over, I think largely because of gun control issues, life, marriage, and family. Your blue-collar Reagan Democrats are now Republicans in Indiana.
Do you think that, and we'll get into this on the second half of the podcast, but do you think the transgender agenda is having an impact in driving people out of the Democratic Party in Indiana?
I think it's one of the issues. I think actually the immigration issue as well is an issue. You know, the call for abolishing ICE is not popular out here, what the media says.
Yeah, yeah.
people who even want more immigration, want people coming through the front door. They don't want them walking across the border, sneaking
Listen,
through
I
a
married
sewer.
An immigrant. Mm-hmm. We brought her mother over here legally.
Yes.
Through the process, 5 years, lots of dough. And you want to talk about people who are upset with people cutting in line?
Right.
It's the immigrant community who came legally.
Exactly. I think a whole host of social issues have hurt the Democrats. They don't realize it because the media downplays who we are and the size that we are. But we're a lot bigger than most people realize.
That's right. That's good.
Well, tell us about this Republican challenger for the U.S. Senate seat.
Yeah, Mike Braun was a state legislator for one term, 2 years. His brother is in the legislature as well. Now, he ran for Congress and did not win, but Mike Braun ran against two sitting congressmen, which was interesting because I think most people would have thought the congressmen have it with money and resources and their own district. But Mike Braun is independently wealthy. He spent a lot of money on radio and TV and did a good job.
I heard his radio ads.
Yeah. The question remains, is he who he presented himself in his campaign ads? Because it's real easy to run against two members of Congress who've been there and had to vote on things over the last 15, 20 years.
That's right.
And so he could define them, and they had a hard time defining him.
That's right.
Because he didn't have a record. So now I certainly hope he is all the things he is. I think he is. Donnelly has a record. Braun has put himself out on where he is, and
sure.
I think he's stuck to those positions. So
well,
he's
tuned.
A conservative. Yeah,
we'll see. All right. Well, listen, we'll come back and continue talking with Michael Clark of AFA of Indiana in just 1 minute.
This is Dan Proft with 60 Seconds of Sanity for upstream-ideas.com. What a contrast, right? At the same time President Trump was stumbling through his post-game presser with Putin, which necessitated a next-day contraction-retraction, former President Obama was in South Africa treating the world to his soaring rhetoric, thereby reminding us how good we had it. That's the D.C. Press Corps' version of events. Unfortunately for Democrats, Obama's tawdry sentimentality and life's little instruction book maxims hold up about as well over time as do his policies. Obama got away with congenial disdain for the Bible and gun clingers, but his political progeny, not to mention his administration's apparatchiks, are not nearly as adroit. Obama's veiled invective is weak tea compared to his former CIA director's call for a firing squad. Obama's cliché-ridden claptrap lacks the appeal of Adam Schiff's Manchurian candidate conspiracy theories or a Business Insider deep dive on bugging soccer balls. Obama served as a veneer for the left's ugliness. Trump has unleashed it and marginalized Obama as a political asset in the process. Now Trump leads the left's parade of horribles around by their pea hats in full public view. It's messy, and Trump is sloppy, but like the 1983 Chicago White Sox, Trump is winning ugly.
Do you know that the time your children spend in school for 1 year is as much time as they will spend in church in over 5 years? Why would we want our children to be in a school that denies God and His truth? Christian Liberty Academy was founded in 1968 to provide a place that would affirm and strengthen what our children learn at home and in their churches. We have a great location in Arlington Heights, outstanding faculty and facilities, a strong biblical worldview emphasis, and an affordable tuition price compared to similar schools. We provide a comprehensive and accredited curriculum that will prepare your child for college and beyond. From preschool all the way through 12th grade, discover the positive difference that Christian Liberty Academy can make in their education and life. Schedule a personal tour today and get more information at ChristianLibertyAcademy.com or call 847-385-2013.
Thanks once again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lurick here, joined by David Smith,
yep.
The Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action, and a father of seven. And we are joined by Micah Clark, who's with the American Family Association of Indiana, Indiana version of IFI. Getting back to Mike Braun, you folks in Indiana had a big fight in the Republican Party platform over the marriage platform.
Plank.
Is marriage between a man and a woman, or is it a rainbow coalition thing?
Right.
A big tent?
Yeah, this is a battle that we've had before. For our listeners, in the state, we have a convention just like you see every 4 years in the national convention. Ours are a lot smaller, of course, but it's a state convention for the party. The Democrats have one, Republicans have one. And the Republicans were wanting to change, or the leadership was wanting to change the Republican plank language, which is just two sentences on marriage. They wanted to take the word marriage out of it and basically make it into some kind of mushy, we support families statement.
Right.
And what they didn't realize is that 52% of the people in Indiana in households are married. And so under the name of diversity or inclusion, they're excluding the majority of the people by taking marriage out. So we sound the alarm on that. We put out an alert saying keep the platform language on life and family the same from 2016. It's the platform that Mike Pence ran on. It's the platform that Donald Trump won here in Indiana. And it's nothing compared to the National Party platform, which is two pages of why marriage matters. Now, the media wanted to spin this into an LGBT issue, which is fine. That's their mantra.
But it's their narrative.
It's their narrative, yeah. But what they really want, what this was really about, is the benefit of marriage to society. Children raised in a two-parent home with a married mother and father are more likely to graduate from school, less likely to be involved in crime, less likely to do drugs. A whole host of social positives that we want are associated with marriage. That's what this battle was about. The media doesn't want to talk about that.
Of course not.
But Mike Braun came out in favor of keeping the 2016 language in the 2018 platform. He and the Attorney General Curtis Hill were the two biggest statewide candidates, maybe the only two. We had some congressmen as well come out and say this needs to stay. The party chairman and the governor were pushing for the change to water down the platform. When the delegates voted, over 80% of the delegates voted to keep marriage in the platform.
80%.
I love to hear that. I love to hear that because we had the same, a similar battle here in 2016 in our convention, Republican convention. They actually changed it in the platform committee, but there was enough of a minority report that it was reported out and we got to vote on it.
Yes.
And again, like you said, 80% of the Republicans in attendance said, nope, we're going back to the 2012 language, which was solid, strong. And so it's heartening to hear that Republicans still understand the importance of marriage.
Well, you know, there's a battle out there, and it's really between the establishment or the elites and the grassroots.
That's
right. The grassroots are the people who, you know, go to work, go to church, raise their family, and they care about policy issues. I think the elites sometimes care about power more, and they get inside this mindset. For us, Indianapolis has a loop around it called 465. It's like a beltway. Inside that loop, everyone listens to the Indianapolis Star.
Yep.
They get outside that beltway, and that's kind of the real rank-and-file Republicans. They care about other issues.
My problem is that so many of these elite want a so-called big tent.
Mm-hmm.
They want to just bring everybody. But you know what? The platform is there because we stand for certain ideals, right?
Right.
These are the things that we—so we build that tent not by just accepting anybody and any other philosophies and political agendas, but by educating the folks and bringing them towards our side— of those things, right?
Yes. Ronald Reagan in the late 70s gave a speech where he talked about this specifically, and he said party platforms should be broad pastel colors, not grays and, you know, shades of gray. And that's
right.
What they were trying to do was make marriage a shade of gray. And what they don't realize, when they do that, they think they're being more inclusive, but what they're really doing is driving our people out because our people are principled. They aren't Republicans first. They are policy first.
Micah. I have to ask you if you feel the same way. We often have to talk down some conservative Christian Republicans from saying, let's go start a third party because they're so disillusioned with what's going on with some of the elite.
Yes.
Do you see the same thing
going
on?
Oh, very much so. They're very upset. That's what elected Trump, I think, in the primary, was that people were so frustrated with politicians, so frustrated with the elite. Here's a guy coming from the outside throwing hand grenades, and they want to blow the place up because they're so frustrated because they've been promised so many times, when we get to Washington, this is what we'll do. And I think what's going to really help Trump with re-election, short of some scandal or something, is the fact that he's delivered on his promises.
That's right.
And Republicans haven't done that in and of themselves very often.
And then you got guys like Mitch Daniels, you know, former governor of Indiana, who ran for president, who said, let's call a truce on social issues. But the left never, ever calls a truce on social issues. They just advance, advance, advance.
Yeah.
And so who gets trampled?
Well, and you know, we get accused of bringing up social issues, but usually what we're doing is defending social
issues. We're responding to
it. Exactly. It's the other side that brings up social issues.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a couple of measures in the legislature of Indiana that are out there. A sex ed bill?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll get to the other one. What about the sex ed bill?
Sex ed bill was one of our biggest victories of the legislative session this year. What it was we were trying to provide parents more information about sex education. What often happens is parents will find out what's taught in school after their child comes home and says, "Mommy, guess what I saw today? This guy in a dress showed up and taught us in class." And so we wanted something out there shown before school teaches about gender identity or things like right. that. The parents are notified in advance. We actually had it so that they would opt in, and that was changed to opt out, but that's okay. We passed a bill that said schools must give parents information 45 days in advance before certain things are talked about.
That's awesome.
And so what we did was we went to work after that passed with Liberty Counsel, one of the nation's top law firms, yep. religious liberty law firms.
Matt Staver,
yes. Yep. They worked with us to send a letter to every school corporation in Indiana.
No kidding.
About this new law that went into effect July 1st. And then they said, which we took a playbook from the ACLU.
Yes.
If you don't follow this law and respect parental rights, we will defend any parent in court for free to sue your school for violating this law.
Wow.
And we're sending it out to parents now. It's up on our website at afain.net. If you're from Indiana, go to afain.net. On the right-hand side, you'll see a box to click to protect your child in sex education. It's an opt-out form, non-consent form that says, you cannot teach my child about transgender issues. You cannot refer my child to GLSEN. You cannot refer my child to Planned Parenthood. About 12 different things on there of what you can or cannot do.
Monty's going to blow his yes. stack here.
Because, Dave, the little light's going off. Well, this sounds like something we need to do in Illinois.
Indiana law allows parents to opt out of sex education. It's been that way for a long time. Yeah. We're doing this proactively to say, here's a form you take yes. to your school, yes. opting yourself out. If they don't follow it, we're suing them.
That is amazing. But I thought you were going to go to is the fact that in Indiana they have a supermajority mm-hmm. of Republicans in the House and the Senate and in the governor. In Illinois, we have majorities of Democrats in the Senate and the House. We have a supermajority in the Senate.
And we have Mike Madigan.
And yeah, that's right. And so our good legislation like this, which I certainly would love to steal from you and take to Illinois, would never even get a hearing.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And so, you know, this is important. I am so glad. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
It's a vital victory. But let me also ask you this. There's all kinds of other problems with public schools. Sex ed is mm-hmm. one of them, mm-hmm. right? You're a homeschooling father.
Yes.
What would you recommend to people listening to this podcast, the different options and abandoning the public schools if they were able to?
Yeah, that's a great question, because our position at AFA is that we are very strongly in favor of school choice. Not pro-choice. We're pro-choice concerning schools.
Yes.
So we support parents who can only send their kid to a government school or a private school or a charter school or homeschool. I understand homeschooling is much harder than most people realize.
Yes.
And it's not something everybody can do.
Right.
So I want to empower parents to do whatever they're able to do.
That's right.
Have vouchers in Indiana.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Which we support. I think parents have to be aware of that there are options out there. If you have a choice, one of the things that concerns me, I'm not going to tell parents on the radio what they should do today, but if you are a parent and you believe, well, let me say it this way. As a homeschool dad, it's very hard for me to protect my children from everything I'd like. It yep. amazes yep. me what they know about radio, what they know about media, that, you know, they know certain singers. We don't play in
yep,
our house.
I hear you.
Okay. So we're not sheltering kids.
No.
By the same token, if you think you're sending your child to a public school in a small town of 3,000 people and you're safe, think again, because the left has moved into nearly every school in Indiana as well as
sure.
Illinois. I
yep.
guarantee it.
Absolutely.
The sex ed, you know, the textbook curriculums, yep. the people they bring in rural Illinois, where I was born in Paris, Illinois.
Okay, okay. Yeah, sure. I know exactly where that is.
So if you're in Paris, Illinois, and you're a small town, your child is not safe simply because you're not in Cook County.
That's right.
So you
another
need to
Illinois
know.
Resident who's left.
Yeah. Fighting the good battle in
That's
Indiana.
Right.
He's left the People's Republic of Illinois.
We don't have a lot of time, but I got to ask you about this. Is Indiana on the verge of legalizing what proponents call medical marijuana?
I hope not. The reason being that there's a great misnomer out there about marijuana. I am all in favor of medicine from marijuana that the FDA may approve. Marinol, there's three or four drugs that if there's a compound in that plant that we can use
as
great.
Medicine, true as medicine.
But getting high for therapy is not medicine. There's not a single medical organization out there that supports this. You know, when I was first aware of this back in the 90s, you may remember Nightline and TV shows were talking about marijuana helps glaucoma.
Right.
Well, they've done over 300 studies, and marijuana does not help glaucoma unless you're smoking it all the time. They have eye drops that do the same thing.
Yes.
So it's a great myth out there that medical marijuana is necessary.
Well, Mike, I ripped off a little statement from an addiction specialist, and their policy became our policy, which is eating or smoking raw, crude marijuana is not medicine.
That's right.
Plain and simple.
That's right.
So it goes through the same rigorous scientific medical testing that any other pharmaceutical does before we call it medicine.
Well, it's very interesting. The medical marijuana advocates do not want to wait for the FDA to find things in marijuana. They want to legalize marijuana
that's
so
right.
you can smoke it. And that's very different from taking a pill or using a compound out of a chemical in marijuana, which hasn't been all that effective, but there are a few things. But there have been thousands and thousands of studies that have found that marijuana is not as helpful. And there's a great internet myth out there. My doctor always tells me, if you don't feel well, don't look at the internet. Come to me first.
Yeah, right.
Because you
have MD.
That's right. You will think you have cancer if you're not careful. So I would be very cautious about embracing medical marijuana
because
I think it's a step and a Trojan horse. And some groups have admitted it. It's a step towards recreational use, which would be a disaster for
that's
Indiana
right.
or
and
Illinois.
And if you look at Illinois, who's had medical marijuana since 2013, they're always opening new diagnoses to qualify to get this. So there's more than one way to get to recreational marijuana.
Well, it's interesting, too. If you look at the states, I've seen charts of this. The states with the highest rates of teenage use of marijuana are states with medical marijuana.
That's right.
And there was a study in Boulder, Colorado, I believe it was, of kids and addiction issues, teenagers and drug addiction problems, and almost every single one said they had used someone else's medical marijuana.
Well, the whole idea of sending a message to young people that this is just medicine.
Right.
Wow, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
All right, so Micah, how do people get a hold of you?
Well,
where
sure.
do they find you?
AFAIN.net is our website, AFAIN.net. Phone number is 317-257-7221. We're also on Facebook.
You have an event coming to Crown Point pretty
we
soon?
We do, later this year. In December, we're bringing in Brian Duncan, who is a Grammy Award-winning Christian artist, had 12 number one hits in the 80s and 90s,
yep.
was with a group called Sweet Comfort Band, if you're that old. But Brian is a phenomenal voice, great guy. He's coming in for us at Living Stones Church on December 2nd.
In Crown Point, which is right over the border, so
yes.
not too far from
yes.
The Chicagoland
yep.
area, so that's good.
Yep. It'll be a Christmas concert, so if you say, well, I don't know who Brian Duncan is, he's a great singer, and you'll know the Christmas music. He's a lot of fun. But you'll recognize some of his songs, too, I'm sure.
Good. Yeah.
When are they going to get I-65 South fixed?
Well, they raised our gas taxes, and we're still waiting to see the benefit of that. So they told us that would help. But that's what they said about the lottery, too.
Yeah, right,
you know,
exactly.
My parents live between Dayton and Cincinnati, and I drove down there about a month or so ago. It was like the back hills of Morocco.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Well, you know, it's interesting, not to ramble, but the Indiana raises statewide taxes on gasoline. And then where we see the money are in certain cities. We don't see them in the rural areas. You know, government does not do things very efficiently.
No, they don't.
And, really?
And this is an example where everybody's paying more, but not everyone's seeing the benefits.
Well, Micah, thank you so much for just coming up and slumming with us in the People's Republic of Illinois.
Well, it's great to be in a foreign country.
Behind enemy lines. Yeah. All right. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.